Hi, this is Rabbi David Felsenthal. We're learning Mishnah Yasiyomi. We're in Para, the 8th Perech, Mishnah 1 and Mishnah 2. Shnayim shahayu shomer mes ha-shoket, nitma echad mehem ksherim, mifnei shehen brishuso shel sheni. If two were safeguarding the trough and one of them became ritually impure, it's still fit because it's under the charge of the second person. Tahar, if he became pure and then the second one became impure, it's fit because it's under the charge of the first one. If the two of them become impure together, so at the same time, so then it's puzzle. Asa echad mehen malacha ksherin, mifnei shehen brishusal shelsheni. So if one of them does a malacha, it's still fit because it's under the charge of the second one. Amad, and if the second one does a malacha, it's still kosher because it's under the watch guard of this first one. But if both performed a malacha at the same time, then it is unfit. The second Mishnah, Hamikadesh Mechatas, Lo Yinol Es HaSandal, the one who sanctifies the Chatas water cannot wear sandals. Shim naflu mashkin al hasandal nitma vitimahu. Because if a liquid would fall on the sandal, it's rendered impure and it conveys impurity to him. Harihu omer, mitamecha lo timuni, ba'ata timetani. He may say, what rendered you impure did not render me impure, but you rendered me impure. Naflu mashkin al bisaro tahor. If a liquid falls upon his flesh, he's pure. Naflu al ksuso nitmes vitimatu. But if it falls on his garment, it renders impure, and that conveys impurity to him. Harize omer mitamecha lo timuni vata timetani. He can say that what rendered you impure did not render me impure, but you rendered me impure. So when we say that he could say, right, so with the sandals, so you can be talking actually to the sandal, that the liquid that rendered you impure does not make me impure, but you, the sandal, you make me impure. And similarly, with the garment, he could say the same thing. As talking to the garment, and what rendered you impure did not render me impure, but what rendered me impure is you. All right? Now, we've explained this Mishnah according to most commentaries. The Ravid, however, says that he finds the last sentence difficult. If liquids fell upon his flesh, he's ritually pure. And if liquids fell on his garment, he's rendered ritually impure. And then conveys ritual impurity to him. So if that's so, then just tell him not to wear garments so that no liquid can fall on them to make him impure and to make the garments impure and make him impure. And so also, if we're concerned about impure liquids, so then let's think about the possibilities of other kinds of impurity that is affected by the sandal. Also, why do they say the one who sanctifies the chatat water rather than the one who touches or sprinkles? So let's explain that they're not concerned about other liquids, but only with that particular liquid, the chatat water itself, falling on the sandal, and thus being rendered unfit because of distraction, while also affecting the sandal, which would in turn affect the wearer. Thus, it says that the carrier of an item which has contracted midras tumah may carry tumah, but not what is sanctified, and much less chatat. So similarly with regard to the garments. So the person whose garments have been rendered impure by liquids, even though he immersed himself for the purpose of chatat, reassumes the general status of those who sanctified food. Now that they said that they were only concerned about the falling of any sanctification water, so then, since that's the liquid they're worried about, so then they don't prohibit wearing garments during sanctification, because he can be careful, which is not the case regarding this sandal. And thus says the Ravid. Tomorrow we'll learn Mishnah 3 and Mishnah 4.